Well, close to good afternoon. So I'm supposed to be done at 12:15? Okay. That means we get 5 minutes per verse here. Okay. So we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2. And I'd like to focus on the angel song. Normally during this time, I develop a series on I call preparing for Advent, and this is a portion that I meditated on and actually did a group Bible study on for the four songs of Christmas, beginning with what happened in Luke chapter 1. This morning we were singing that song, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. We were reminded of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, he became poor. You know, it's easy to become rich. It's hard to become poor. And when we come and look at the events surrounding Christmas, everything is absolutely unexpected. Now, unexpected from a human perspective, okay? Because God, who knows all things, has planned all things. So these are not surprises. But it's unexpected from a human perspective. And behind the backdrop, there is this theme that we hear in the Lord's Prayer, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think John Wesley captured the essence in that song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, which is really taken from this particular portion that we're going to look at, Luke chapter 2. And here we'll break into Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Our God and Father, we pray that you would bring to life these words that are written for us, for our exhortation, for our edification, for our encouragement, and above all, Father, for our rebuke. Make this transformative. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think I've said this before, maybe not from this pulpit, but the Bible is not just a propositional book. You know what I mean? It's not just a series of propositions. For example, if there was only a statement that says the grace of God or the love of God, or the judgment of God, how would you understand? How would you understand God is holy? One way we understand God is holy is when we read the book of Leviticus and you understand what happens when something, even a minute portion of something touches something that is unholy. We only know what holiness of God is when there is partial disobedience, when the ark is not carried the way it needs to be carried.
So the Bible presents to us these amazing pictures of relationships between people. They are like real stories of people who crossed one another, who betrayed one another, who backstabbed one another, who lied to one another, who cheated, and who traded sexual favors for a nation that was going to be a nation birthed in Goshen, separated from everyone else in the Egyptians. And as much as we like to think that the Jewish nation is a pure nation, we recognize that there are Gentiles in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so every item that God wants to present to us, he presents to us in an amazing story, which is not just a story, it is real. So there are four songs. Chronologically speaking, there is Mary's song. In Latin, it's called the Magnificat. There is Zechariah's song. In Latin, it's called the Benedictus. There's the angel's song, Gloria in Excelsis Deo. And there is Simeon's song, which is Nunc Dimittis. Just now dismiss your servant. That's basically the English translation. So I'm going to quickly look at the progression of the story that we read from what I titled as The Unexpected. By the way, you all have handouts. I'm not going to follow the handout because I had to sort of dovetail this message from a different perspective. But what I want you to do with the handout, if you want to, is take it home after what I have said here. Spend some time reading it, because what I've given to you is basically a discussion of these things that we are reading, so that you will probe yourself through the word and come to conclusions that you can align with your own life. So I had like 5 or 6 points of unexpected. You might come with more, okay? There's the unexpected timing of the Lord's birth. Once again, unexpected from our perspective. There is the unexpected location. There is the unexpected audience. There is the unexpected appearance. There is the unexpected entrance of God who became flesh. And there is the unexpected obedience. Now, let me ask you, anybody, okay? Have you ever been confronted with something that was unexpected? It's not a rhetorical question. If you want to answer, you can answer, okay? Just have to be transparent and vulnerable. I'll give you something that happened in my life when I was like 14 years old. Growing up in Bombay, you have to be a fan of cricket. India is playing Australia. Clive Lloyd is the batsman. Even though I'm from India, I love to watch this left-handed batsman play. So I tell my neighbor, I would love to go and see Clive Lloyd. And everybody knows it's really hard to get into Brabourne Stadium and get a ticket when India and Australia come. One morning, right before school, my neighbor knocks on the door and says, "Do you want to go and watch Clive Lloyd?" I said, "Yeah, but my dad has got tickets." He said, "What?" "Yes, my dad has got tickets to the Australia, this test match. West Indies." Clive Lloyd was West Indies? Okay, sorry, West Indies, okay. So I said, okay. I go and tell my mom. Mom says, "This is school day. You ain't going." I said, "Mom, please, nobody gets to go and see this test match. So can I go?" Somehow, I don't know, the Holy Spirit worked in her and she became a transformed woman and became my ambassador before my dad. Something absolutely unexpected happened.
Now, there are unexpected blessings. There are unexpected burdens, right? Like when you get hit by a car that you didn't know was in front of you, whatever, you know what I mean? That, and you suddenly say, oh my gosh, what did he do? And I had a hit and run that happened to me. You see, that's because we as human beings have expectations of something around us because we have our own paradigm. We have our own boundaries. And what God does, He absolutely shatters them every single time. That's why we have to ask the question, God, why did you create Adam? That's why we cannot understand that God in human flesh comes and He dies and lives, and we live with Him. Isn't that unexpected? Everything around the Christmas story is unexpected. And understanding these things are important in for us to make this book come alive. It is important to fully comprehend the account of the birth of Jesus. For example, I said unexpected timing. What is the timing? Well, Luke provides this timing. He says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken. Those were difficult times. Those were hard times. And Luke, this wonderful Gentile historian, physician, theologian, is bringing us and is framing the story in those days. And he takes us from Rome, through Syria, through Nazareth, all the way to Bethlehem. That, brothers and sisters, if you can enter into that journey as you read these verses, every word comes alive. Unexpected timing. In those days, Caesar Augustus, okay, by the way, his name is not Augustus. It was given to him after many victories that he won by the Roman Senate. His actual name is Octavius. Some might say it was a perfect time. There was the Roman peace. There were the Roman roads. They built over 50,000 miles of roads. But why was it unexpected? Because every day you got up and you walked outside, there were the Roman soldiers. Now think about this. Every day you get up from your bed, you find your enemy in the living room. They dominated the political world. And so when Luke says, in the days of Augustus, he wants us to understand that there is a political and a governmental reality to their living and existence for Joseph and Mary. It is in that context that Jesus is born. Historically, Caesar is in power. Culturally, it is all Greek. Spiritually, there is dead orthodoxy. Do you know what the backdrop of the Gospels is? Pharisees. Every place Jesus goes, there are Pharisees. You can't heal. You can't do this. You can't do that. Now, Jesus could have come any other time of the century, right? But he chose to come in an unexpected time. In those days. Now, we who are older than 65, can tell our children, in those days. I said, what do you mean, Dad? We only had three channels, ABC, NBC, CBS, and PBS.
Today we have 200, 300 channels in those days. Sometimes we rest ourselves comfortably in those days. Oh yeah, remember our Appachans and Amachis in those days? They were so committed to the gospel.
That's good. It's good to have history. But we can't rest our laurels on history. You know why? Because that's what the story is about.
There are places that God places you and me in unexpected locations. Bethlehem. You know how many people were in Bethlehem when Jesus Christ was born?
1,000. Today there's 30,000.
Why Bethlehem? Well, it had biblical significance because Rachel's tomb is there. It had prophetic, kingly significance because David was first anointed there. It had prophetic significance because Micah prophesied about it. And today, it has messianic significance. And so Luke moves us from in those days to this day. Right? This day in the city of David. This day. All of us have those days. Right? Those days when I should not have drunk, but I got drunk. Those days when I watched certain things when I should not have watched. Those days. And then there is this day. Yes. A location so lowly that God had entered the world. A town so unlikely that a young couple from Nazareth was moved to Bethlehem by the dictates of a emperor who thought he was powerful. In his subtitle was Savior, by the way. And Luke is telling us that when Caesar meets Christ, there is only one way. That's what he wants us to know. That's why the story is so fertile with meaning. The framework of the historical and cultural significance of our times should never be dismissed. Because God has placed you and me today in a COVID world. In those days, masking means that you could be arrested. Today, masking is in. And why are we here? In a masked world. Because God has a purpose for you and for me. Yes. Unexpected location, unexpected timing, unexpected audience. There were shepherds in verse 8. There were shepherds out in the field. Despite David being a shepherd and shepherding being a family business, shepherds in those days, that the days when Luke is writing about, is they were the scum of society. And remember, when Luke was an investigative journalist, if you mind, right? He wasn't an eyewitness like Matthew and Mark and John. He has to ask people. That's why he has this unbelievably recorded words of Mary, where Luke is telling us Mary treasured all these things in her heart because Mary is pouring out her life to Luke. And the angels come to this unexpected audience. To those who were ceremonially unclean. And why were they ceremonially unclean? Because they had to be 24/7 watching sheep and counting them. They couldn't keep the Sabbath. And so we read Luke saying the message of the angels did not come to Caesar, to Quirinius, to the scribes and the Pharisees, but it comes to these shepherds. Only God makes those kind of choices. So when we read today Our brother read, the grace of God. The grace of God comes alive when we read these portions of real life people. And what the world wants to see is real life Christians demonstrating the grace of God. That's what the world wants to see. Not just people just come and do everything properly on a Sunday. It is amazing to be able to sing Amazing Grace within the four walls of this, right? But if and when the angels come to your place of work, remember that's what it says. They were out shepherding the sheep and the angels come. Now in your handout, there is a question. What would happen if the angels came to your place of work? When you were doing dishes, when you were taking care of a sick relative, when you were changing diapers. You mean angels, they don't make an appearance? Well, that's what I say, right? I mean, I don't know if the angels came that day to my mom and told her, hey, send your son to see Clive Lloyd. But what I'm saying is this. If we only think of this as a historical book in those days, then this day doesn't matter. You have to connect those days with this day. Consider your callings. Not many wise, not many powerful, not many noble were called. God chose what is the low and the despised in the world to bring to nothing, so that no flesh might glory in his presence. It's all of grace. You know what's ironic? Bethlehem was where, supposedly from historical records, where the lambs for the sacrifices were being bred without blemish. So these were supposedly special shepherds. And how ironic that these shepherds who were breeding lambs for sacrifice get this amazing invitation to go and see the Lamb of God. Unexpected audience. Yes. When was the last time you had an unexpected audience with God? Unexpected appearance. Verse 9. Behold, an angel stood before the glory, and the glory of the Lord shone, and they were greatly afraid. Imagine the shock when the dark desert skies are crashed and there is this shining happening when they were doing their regular work. That's what it is, right? And that's what I want you and me to take away from this. In my regular routine chores, God shows up and there's a shining that is happening. And may I transfer this a little better that on after Sunday, remember our brother talked about what happens on Monday? Well, on Monday when you go to work, where is the shining of the glory within you that you said, I broke bread today and I remembered the grace of God and I was told about the glory of God. But what about the goodness of God when I do my screenshots and when I do my telephone calls and when an employee comes and is completely disagreeable? John says, we beheld his glory. And the word glory is doxa, right? The Hebrew word is kabod, means weight. We beheld his glory, what? Of someone who was full of grace and truth. Yes. Those were two amazing facets of God's glory. Grace and truth. And that's why that song, heaven came down in glory, filled my soul. Because you see what Luke is saying is the fact that God is bringing heaven to earth. The celestial choir from heaven is singing glory to God in the highest, because that's what they always know. And there is only one supreme person. God and Satan are not equal. God is supreme, and that glory of God in the highest is being brought to earth to the lowest. And they, when they go and look at the stable, they have to bow down, stoop, and enter. And only shepherds would do that. Herod wouldn't do that. Oh, would I do that?
I better quit here pretty soon. So I'm taking the last.
They get the message. Are the shepherds asked to go? The angel said, go and see. Did they? What do you think?
The angels never told them. They, in response to the angels' message, says, let us go and see.
Remember another group of people in Jerusalem, downtown Jerusalem, when the Magi came? What did the Magi ask him? Where is he? Right? And they said, here's the address. You go right, Bethlehem.
They knew the address, but they wouldn't go.
You see, some of the same things can happen to us. We know the address. We know John 3:16. Psalms 91, verse 1. Psalms 139. 2 Timothy 3:16. We know the address. But what the Holy Spirit wants us? He wants people who, like the shepherds, would on their own, after having heard the voice of God, be willing to make that trek, understand the signs, look. And you know what one of the strongest things in this, in verse 11 is this? The angel told them, the only verse in the Bible where these three titles are all together. Jesus, the Christ, the Savior, Christ, and the Lord. And it says, when they had seen him. Understand that word, okay? When they had seen him, they returned. When was the last time you really saw Jesus? I'm not asking if you read the Bible. When was the last time you had an encounter as a brothers and sisters who are sanctified, who have gotten the unearthed aspect of God dealing with me, and I then get to respond, because that response is authentic. It is not fabricated. It is not contrived. It is absolutely authentic. It doesn't start when I cross the threshold of this auditorium. It starts way before, maybe on a Monday. So that the people that I work with, that I rub shoulders with, will be, oh, I see. Why are you so good? I just see that there was something happening in your family that is really bad, but you seem to have a glow about you. Jesus, I saw him. A whole bunch of brothers and sisters came together yesterday and we broke bread and we were reminded of the grace. And today I get to carry that into the workplace. That's what the shepherds did. They carried that glow into the workplace. And as they went along, everybody, what happened? What happened? Can you believe? The scum of society singing church songs? That's what happens when you see Jesus. Completely unexpected. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for reminding us through this story the real incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. How quietly this baby entered the world. The creator of the universe contracted himself voluntarily to the span of the womb of a poor peasant woman and came into the stinky stable in Bethlehem, even as you take up residence in the stinky hearts of human beings. Thank you, Father, that you did not wait for my heart to be clean, but your presence in my heart makes the stink leave and the spirit alive. Bless us this afternoon, Lord, as we go out, that we would hear the echoes of the angelic songs and be able to mouth it authentically. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.